Brother Lance is still feeling underneath the weather. I was able to communicate with Mariah, and she said that he's not feeling well. I want to talk just a moment about preaching and preaching in today's society. I've been surrounded by preachers and affiliated with preachers, it seems like, all of my life. My own dad, he was an elder in the church, and even though he worked a secular job, he did do some preaching off and on. Then my father-in-law, Brother Lambert, was a gospel preacher for many, many years. I have a brother-in-law who preaches up in Franklin, Tennessee. One of my sons preaches out in Denver, Colorado, and then Matt does quite a bit of preaching in the Houston area. And then I've been blessed to be able to preach the gospel of Christ for over 35 years. So I feel like I know just a little bit about preaching, but the best advice in regards to preaching comes from God's Word. And really, if you want a comprehensive sense of what an evangelist, what a minister should be, then you probably should do a good study of 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus, because that's really where the Apostle Paul instructs those young men who are going to be gospel preachers on their personal behavior, their personal life, then how to deal with congregations, even some of the doctrine, and how they should not underemphasize preaching doctrine. And all those things are right and good. And even our text passage, if you have your Bibles with you, over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. We don't have a spiritual seeker's guide tonight. We're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way, the way Paul did, just use PowerPoint. But we'll start in 2 Timothy 4, and we'll start reading in verse 1 if you have your Bibles. Here's what Paul, the aged preacher, instructed the young preacher Timothy. He said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry." You know, most people have some sort of opinion of how a preacher should act, what they should be doing, even on a day-to-day basis. But you know, we want to go to God's Word. We want to see what the Bible says that preachers need to do. And what makes a person an effective gospel preacher? How do they need to teach, or what do they need to teach in order to be able to communicate God's Word? In a sense, then, we all have a duty to be a preacher and teacher. We emphasized that this morning. And look over in Matthew chapter 28. We kind of ended this morning over in Matthew chapter 28 when we talked about the parents need to instruct their children to observe all things. But notice the final instructions here recorded in Matthew 28 that Jesus gave his disciples. And beginning in verse 19, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so it's not, the command to go and teach is not simply reserved for preachers. But all members, in some sense, have a responsibility. And I've often stressed this, though, that sometimes we have a member that they're confident of what God's Word may say, but they don't feel comfortable, or they feel like that they can't lead someone to Christ. But that's fine, because one of the greatest things that you could do is you could be that point of contact. In other words, you could bring that individual to either Brother Lance or myself, and we could teach that person the gospel of Christ. I've often mentioned Sister Dolly Hill. She was a member of one of the congregations that I preached at, and Sister Dolly, she was in a wheelchair. When she came to services, they rolled her down into the wheelchair. She was in the nursing home. You would think that she would be the last one that would be a person who was dynamite in teaching the gospel of Christ. But I don't know how many Bible studies I was able to conduct because she was that point of contact. She would introduce me to those folks who needed to hear the gospel. And then I would set up a convenient time when we could have a Bible study. And oftentimes it would lead to those folks obeying the gospel. But I attribute that to Dolly being willing to go out and to teach the law. So in a sense, all Christians have a duty to influence others. We all have that duty. But we understand in the Bible that our preaching and our teaching then, and especially I want to think in regards to gospel preachers, must be done in order to please God and not to please men. So over here in Acts chapter 5, Acts the 5th chapter and verse 29, Acts 5 and verse 29, here Peter and John were told not to preach in the name of Jesus, Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And there's sometimes then when a gospel preacher may come up to a point where someone may want you to be soft on a particular issue or not preach the whole counsel of God, but we have but no choice to please God instead of men. The Apostle Paul commented over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 10. Here he also essentially made the same point. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And so one thing that makes a man ineffective as a preacher of the gospel of Christ is if they are simply striving to be a pleaser of men, that's not going to make them effective. They have to be willing to give a message even when they know that that message is not going to be pleasing to some people. It may step on their toes. But yet, the preacher must be bold, and they must preach the truth. Remember over in Acts the 4th chapter. Acts chapter 4. Here, once again, Peter and John are commanded not to teach in the name of Christ. And in verse 19, we read, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" So if a preacher is worth their salt, then they're going to be willing to give the hard and difficult message. And as a matter of fact, it should be the congregation's desire that that preacher preach the whole counsel of God, no matter where those passages lie on our shoulders. Let the chips fall where they may, right? Because the design should be for that preacher to lead not only themselves, but also others to heaven. And that takes us to our next point in regards to a preacher, and I've already alluded to it, is that preachers must preach all of the Word of God. Look over here in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul could say, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house." And so look at verse 27 then. Verse 26 and 27. "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." There are some subjects that are touchy to be preached on. You know, you start talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and that gets beside people. Because either a person themselves or maybe a family member may be involved in that. You start talking about modest apparel, some people are offended by that. When we stress that God has a view about the way we should dress. When you talk about personal behaviors like drinking and other type of personal behaviors, drugs and this and that. You start talking about what I preached on a couple of Sunday nights ago about capital punishment. Some people feel strongly about that, about capital punishment. You start preaching about subjects like abortion. That gets next to some people. You start talking about the problem with denominationalism. People get excited about that. So will a preacher avoid those topics in order that preacher may be popular with the congregation? Are they going to scratch those itching ears, as Paul talked about? No, the gospel preacher needs to be willing to preach all of the counsel of God. And as a preacher of the gospel, we preach Christ and we preach Christ crucified. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 and 2. Paul could say to the brethren in Corinth, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You've probably heard this statement before, where someone has said that if a preacher is really a good preacher, they're going to hide behind the cross of Christ. In other words, they're going to let the cross of Christ shine forth. That it will be put in the forefront, in front of the gospel preacher. And I believe that to be true, that we need to promote Jesus Christ. We promote God. We promote His Word. We promote the Lord's church. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This pulpit is not about Bob Watson. This pulpit is not about Lance Taylor. This pulpit is not about any other man that may come and occupy this pulpit. This pulpit is about God and His Son. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Word of God. This pulpit is about the church, God's people. This pulpit is designed in order that someone may come up and give instructions on how we get to heaven. Now, I mentioned there are some topics that we preach, and sometimes it gets next to people. And one of which is carnality. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Paul could say, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" And one thing that we do is that we talk about spiritual matters. And I want to ask you, and what other realm in your life does somebody discuss with you 30 to minutes to an hour, because we're talking about Sunday morning and Sunday night, maybe an hour and a half. What other area in your life do you discuss with somebody that length of time, spiritual matters on a weekly basis? You see, we can't talk about spiritual matters at my work. You better not go into a classroom and start talking about Jesus Christ unless you just speak of it in a historical fashion. But I mean, really talking about what is spiritually right and spiritually wrong, what will take you to heaven and what will cause your soul to be lost. Can you think of other areas on a weekly basis you sit down from an hour and an hour and a half and you talk about those spiritual matters? I think one of the best compliments I ever had paid me, I didn't know how to take it at the time, but later I went back and I thought about it. I guess they were trying to compliment me. But after I preached a gospel meeting up in Missouri, one of the little kids, and he was a junior high school, and he came up and he smiled real big and he said, you're the first preacher I could ever understand. And I thought, boy, I guess that's about the level I'm at, junior high school. My wife may say my maturity has been stunted in junior high school. But anyway, I think one of the things, though, that we should look for in a gospel preacher is that they preach in simplicity. Notice what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, once again, verses 3 and 4. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, shouldn't we want then the whole congregation to receive the message? You know, I've heard some preachers, and I've even enjoyed some preachers, that really had a great vocabulary, and I would say that they would speak at a level that is about this high. But I've often wondered how many people in that audience really absorbed that message. And certainly the little ones that we're trying to reach, to bring them to Christ, I know they could not have received that message just because of the type of language, the vocabulary that he used. It was at such a high level. But we should want a gospel preacher that can explain God's word in a manner in which all can understand it. All have that ability to understand it. If not, perhaps we might be guilty of avoiding the message of the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 17, Paul said, For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And we don't want that. We don't want the cross of Christ to be made of no effect. We don't want to deceive the hearts of those who are simple. Notice over in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17. Romans 16, beginning in verse 17. And also in verse 18. Paul said this time, Now I urge you, brethren, note those who caused offenses, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. A gospel preacher should not be guilty of that. They should not be guilty of deceiving the hearts of the simple. They're there in order to be a spokesperson of the Word of God, to lead people to Christ, not to lead them away from Christ. And then over in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 6, once again, the inspired writer Paul said, Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, good gospel preachers, what they're going to do, they're going to do exactly what the Apostle Paul asked them to do, as we looked earlier. They're going to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. What does it mean then to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering? Well, that word reprove simply means to speak in disapproval. Well, I don't know if I want to come in and have some of my actions disapproved of. But I tell you, brethren, if they're sinful actions, and they're actions that are going to lead you to a devil's hell, that preacher is actually doing you a great favor by disapproving of those actions and speaking words that will disapprove of those actions. What about rebuke? It means to address in sharp and severe disapproval. And so sometimes then, a person may have to be rebuked in order to wake them up out of their spiritual state in which they are lost. You need to wake them up. And then finally, to exhort, which means to urge earnestly by advice. And so sometimes in exhorting then we're trying to push the faithful members along to continue to do the right things. to make sure that they understand this is the way that you need to go and keep on doing good. And so this then would be the definition of what a preacher should do: to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long suffering. That's what the Bible says. All long suffering and teaching. Come over here then, if you have your Bibles. Over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 2 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. And we can start in verse 1, where Paul said, "But know this, that in last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungodly, unholy, unloving, unthankful, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away." Wouldn't you agree that these type of individuals would need a serious case of reproof, rebuking, and exhorting? Just like our text passage over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4, as we read. And verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Now, a preacher may have to adapt the message to the needs of the hearers. There may be in the congregation babes in Christ. Over in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter talks about such. About someone who's a child of a babe in the Word of God, and they can't handle, you know, that solid food that we read about this morning. They have to grow by the milk of the Word. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." A babe in Christ may get something out of one message, but absolutely nothing out of another message. And so we may be studying with someone who's a babe in Christ. They may have a desire, "Well, I want to study the book of Revelation," which certainly is the meat of the Word, when really they probably need to be studying the book of Acts. Or perhaps even the Gospels. They need to handle more of the milk of the Word. And we made reference to this just a second ago, how this morning we looked at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, which talks about the meat of the Word, those who by reason of use have their exercises to discern. You know, they have the ability to handle the meat of the Word. And finally, I want to emphasize the good preachers and teachers, they earnestly contend for the faith. Look at Jude, the book of Jude, and in verse 3, it only has one chapter. Paul could write, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." You know, every gospel preacher must stand up and answer this charge. Are you contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? That means then that you're going to have to stand up for doctrinal truth that at times may not be popular. You're going to have to stand against progressivism, whether it's in the church or without. You're going to have to stand against those who are wandering away from the truth of God. Gospel preachers have to make those difficult choices and those tough stands. The Apostle Paul felt the need to contend for the faith. He knew that he had a responsibility to do so. Notice over in Acts 17, Acts the 17th chapter, this time in verse 2. We read about Paul. "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them for three Sabbaths and reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. Paul was in there and he was reasoning with them. He was contending for the faith. And then over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17, Colossians 3, 16 and 17, Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In order to fulfill verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, you may have to make a very solid stance that no, we can't do this. We can't scripturally do this or that. But rather, we're going to have to practice just what the Bible teaches. And the good teachers and good preachers, they exercise their responsibility and their commission and preaching the gospel out of a spirit of love. Someone may say, Brother Watson, what items would I need in order to preach the gospel? I believe these are the two most important attributes a person must have. The first and foremost is they have to love God and love His Word. They have to love God and they have to love His Word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And then the second is they have to love the souls of men and women. They have to love their soul so much that they hate the thought of that person spending eternity in hell. And I don't believe you could just have one. I believe you have to have both. And maybe there have been some gospel preachers that just didn't care for the congregation. I don't understand that. We have teachers in the teaching business. They hate children. I don't understand. How can you be in the teaching business if you hate children? That makes absolutely no sense to me. How could you be in the preaching business if you don't love the souls of the people that you preach to? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And so when we think about teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ, I know Brother Lance, I'm confident he feels the same way that I do. I feel it's a huge responsibility. It's a huge burden to be teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. And it's something that I don't believe either one of us take lightly. God's word instructs us of how we can be a good preacher and a good teacher. And I hope that you call us to task if you feel like we're not meeting up to what God's Word has to say. But I want to emphasize that all of this is done because we want to see you go to heaven. One day, we want to spend eternity in heaven with you. That's our desire. That's the reason why I preach the gospel. I want to go to heaven and I want to take as many people as I can with me in order to go to heaven. So I hope that you understand then that we feel, I know I'm going to speak for myself, I feel the keen responsibility that I have when I enter the pulpit of preaching the whole counsel of God out of an attitude of love. When I see these young people come up here at the beginning of this little class we have on Sunday night, I'm ever reminded that they have a soul, and that soul is going to be around for eternity. And the things that I say and do can influence that child, whether or not they're going to spend eternity in heaven. Having that responsibility of being a preacher and a teacher of the gospel of Christ, it is heavy indeed. But it's designed God's way. He put preachers in the church. And we're going to communicate that message so we can all spend eternity in heaven together. Now, if you have a need to obey the gospel, or if you have a need tonight to repent of sins and to come forward and ask for the prayers of the saints, whatever your need may be, we want you to feel free to come and do it, and we invite you to do it now as we stand and as we sing.